and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. It's a fabulous day today, January 20th, 2017, a few hours after the inauguration of President Donald Trump. Very exciting day. Everything seemed to go as planned. I know there were a few riots, some few marches, some few people pitching a fit. I saw that they tore in and ripped apart a Starbucks, which I kind of found comical considering the fact Starbucks is probably one of the most liberal coffee distributors and retailers in the world, and yet they still broke into a Starbucks and tore it down, which is just kind of ironic to me. It goes to show you that these guys have no logical thinking at all. They go in and tear stuff up. But, yeah, so far, Dad, it's been a pretty wild, exciting day. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing – this is the day of days. I mean, a day of days, a day to record for the rest of your life, for your children to remember for the rest of your life. The day that Gay Kenyon left the office of the White House, the day his wife left the White House, all 6 feet tall of her. I mean, it's the day of days that this has been changed, and that the Bush, Cheney, Clinton, CIA, mafia-run White House has been swapped out, and that the beginning of a new era is hopefully upon us, and we will see once again our God will reign. And guys, listen to me. If this election and this protection we prayed over Donald Trump today wasn't just something that you understood as an act of God, it's so important that you realize that Yahweh and Yeshua did this. They allowed this to happen. To me, it was A, B, C. Anybody but Clinton. I mean, we could not allow a Sabbatean witch in the White House. And today she looked like she'd been drinking all morning to me. She looked kind of two or three sheets in the wind. She wasn't drunk, but she definitely popped a couple of them away. And you could tell she probably had to do that to get through the morning. Clarence Thomas, when he basically spoke to basically have Pence inaugurated as vice president, this was absolutely out of his element. You could tell he wasn't used to being in that front of a large group of people. And when the first choral sang, I thought they did a very interesting job. I didn't care for their song selection. I really would like to have had them actually smile once or twice. And then when the Mormon Tabernacle Choir sang, they, of course, are professionals, and they did a phenomenal, phenomenal job. We finally have a wonderful president, as far as I'm concerned, who's a real alpha male in charge. We have an incredibly beautiful first lady, which I can't even imagine how nice this is going to be for 8 years to actually see her with the Donald when he's in press conferences and not have to look at Michelle or whatever it was, and have to deal with that nonsense again. So it's going to be a really, really good, I believe with all my heart, 8 years that Donald Trump will turn this country around, make America great again, restore our factories. And I hope he starts it with executive order, a remake of 11110, and restores the right of Congress to print money without having to go through the Federal Reserve. He needs to do that to show where he's coming from. And if I had picked any Bible available to me, I would not have picked the Abraham Lincoln Bible. I would not have done that. I would have picked the Bible of Andrew Jackson Old Hickory. That's the one I would have picked, the one who told these bankers they were a den of vipers and he would rout them out and get rid of these guys, and he did. I would have picked Old Hickory's Bible to do that, because he was the man that put the sword in the sand, an Indian fighter, a true alpha male, a true combat veteran in the White House. And guys, that's what I would have done. But Donald Trump, you picked Abraham Lincoln's Bible. I'm just happy you're in. I'm happy it went uneventful today. I'm so happy that we don't have to see the Witch of Benghazi. Hopefully she will fade away from the circuit. Bill Clinton looked like he'd been beaten half to death this morning again, as far as emotionally and mentally and spiritually, or whatever else you want to do to him. He looks like a mere shadow of what he once was. And so it was an interesting event. I watched it from like 10:30 on until after the inauguration, and I will watch it again tonight. And of course, I will be on Hagman and Hagman tonight for the second 2 hours. Doug and Joe, and I'm so happy they're doing this, are going to be the first hour by themselves. I will be on from 8 to 10 Eastern Standard Time on the Hagman and Hagman Report tonight. We'll be covering a lot of things. Now, we'll be doing a lot with the election coverage and a lot of new nutrition items, but next week I've got a brand new presentation on Hagman and Hagman. I'll be on next Friday night again, and it's going to be on the topic, is Atlantis in the Bible? Yes, that's correct. The lost continent of Atlantis, is it in the Bible? And you guys are going to be shocked at the research that I've been doing for years now to uncover and unwrap some of these ancient mysteries that we're going to expose in 1 week from today on the Hagmann Show. So I want to give you a brief preview of that. So yes, Donald Trump in his Make America Again speech, you know, basically saying he's going to get rid of radical Islamic, you know, terrorists around the country, around the world. I think it's wonderful. I hope and I pray that he stops putting money into the United Nations. He stops putting money into foreign investments and foreign, you know, aid, and gets our country back on track again, which we'll find out very, very quickly. And surprisingly, which doesn't really surprise me at all, there are no chemtrails in my sky today here in Florida. And I'm hoping that whatever was doing that now realizes there's a new sheriff in town. That sheriff is an alpha male. And that sheriff just said it's no longer going to be business as usual, but we will keep you posted. And I have enough friends now who know Donald Trump who can get to him, hopefully, that I will try to get him information on chemtrails if this starts up again, to try to find out what this wicked, wicked Sabbatean CIA has been up to, and to expose these guys to get this mess stopped. And that's my opening statement. Austin, what do you think?
Excellent opening statement, Bud. I think you're absolutely right about it. And I thought one thing that was quite odd but doesn't surprise me at all, with King Obama, the last day, 3 days before he went out of office, he went and commuted the sentences of four members who ran the largest cartel smuggling operation in South Texas, bringing dope into the country and up through Chicago. He totaled 330 commuted sentences of criminals, the most ever in a single day, which was quite odd. Like I said, I saw that earlier. I thought I'd bring that up. So thank goodness we don't have to see him, or like you said, his wife, whatever it is, anymore, at least in the White House. I don't know what they're going to do as far as in the future. I know he's talked about going to the UN. He would fit in perfectly over there with those bunch of weirdos. But yeah, it's going to be pretty cool to actually see a true American that has good, basic Christian values in the White House now, and not this extreme Muslim that wants to completely degrade this country into a Muslim caliphate like we've seen Obama do for the last 8 years, man.
Well, you have to remember, Obama may have had a little bit of black in him, African American or whatever he was, but he was pretty much an Arab, and we have to understand that.
Yeah.
This is not a I know blacks like to believe that if a person has 1%, you know, black DNA in them, they're black. I got that, okay? I know that category, he'd be black, but the majority of his DNA was basically, he was an Arab. Some of his legacies we can look back on and look to see the Hope and Change campaign, slick advertising, marketing he did. That was pretty good the first year he came into office, because everybody, the Democrats could have put a dead rat up for election for president, and with George W. Bush leaving the office, everybody had such enough of him that they would have elected the dead rat. So Obama was in like a shoe. Number two is his identity fraud. I hope that what Trump does with his immediate executive orders, they said he could do up to 200 executive orders on Monday. I will have to believe that to see it, unless he's been working on it over the last few weeks to sign that many executive orders into place. One of my first executive orders as president, if I was going to be the president, would be to reverse Obama's executive order of sealing his records nationwide. I would stop that. I would open up all the records of Obama. I'd do a full investigation on this Kenyan, and I would fully expose him, and I would undo every law he put in and be done with it and have him stricken from the books. Now you guys think, well, gosh, Ted, that's harsh. No. That's how much that man has damaged our country. He has adult men who act like women using the bathroom with little girls. That's not okay to me. Any part of that is okay with anybody listening right now? Maybe you need to reevaluate if that's okay with you. Number two, he was strictly involved with identity fraud. I mean, with that whole thing that he's done. Number three, the bomb-dropping, war-loving Nobel Peace bomber. Are you kidding me? Why he got a Nobel Peace, I have no idea. How about the drone commander, the executive via kill list commander? How about the power to indefinitely detain without charge or trial via the NDAA that he decided to do? How about forced socialized medicine I'm still paying penalties on because I refuse to participate? How about gun running via the Fast and Furious? Oh, well, let's not forget Benghazi and the invasion of Libya, which has left that country in complete rubble. And let's certainly not forget the Ukraine coup that he was neck deep in. And not to forget about everything, let's remember the covert funding to ISIS to overthrow Syria. And remember, Obama's legacy, if you want to call it that, or his nauseam, is full of death, fakery, coercion, bombs, drones, and the murdering of innocents. This man was not president in any respect whatsoever. He was a complete and total usurper, and his name needs to be stricken from all congressional records. And they certainly don't need a picture of him hanging in the White House. And that's my opinion on that, Austin. What do you think?
That about sums it up right there. I think you nailed it on the head. That's exactly right. I mean, from every single aspect, that whole thing with him, I've never had any respect to him. I mean, I had such little respect for him when I was going into officer candidate school in the Marine Corps and I got out of college. I declined to go in and take my commission up at Quantico, up at OCS, because he got elected that November, when basically OCS started in Quantico that December, the next month. I declined it. That's how little I have liked him ever since I've seen him. The first question I brought up to everybody 8 years ago was, where'd this guy come from? Literally, I said, where'd this guy come from? Like, nobody knew anything about him. He just popped out of nowhere, had, like, the fewest meetings as far as in the Senate, never met with anybody, never attended anything, just popped up out of nowhere and decided he was going to run for president. At least with Donald J. Trump, we've seen his life since he was a child, all the way back from New York, helping his dad with the apartments and the condos that he had in the Bronx, all the way up to where he is now. There's no question about, has Trump been in the limelight? Do we know Trump's background? Do we know his ex-wives? Do we know the business dealings he's had for his entire life? We know almost everything there is to know about this man because his entire life he's been in the media and he hasn't had the luxury of hiding behind executive orders like Obama did when he got elected. He signed executive orders to seal his records. Trump doesn't have to do that. He doesn't need to do that. He's been out in the open his entire life, and I think that's been a very positive aspect for him and one of the things that helped get him elected. Because even though, yes, he may have done a few things in the past that some people don't agree with, or he said a few things that some people don't agree with, he's been a very open book about a lot of things, and he's also been a very, very successful businessman, especially in the real estate market and the other areas as well. So that's the kind of person that we need right now to try and restructure this country and restructure our budget, and like you said, Dad, get rid of the Federal Reserve, or at least allow Congress to have the ability to print debt-free currency, even if we don't engage in that yet, signing an executive order that allowed them to do that. I think that would be a very, very important place to start. But again, he may want to wait to do that and not hack off all the globalists right out of the gate. I'm not sure. We'll find out on Monday.
Well, we're going to find out. I mean, rumors are, I'm not trying to spread rumors, but I'm just telling you that there are up to 200 executive orders that he's preparing right now. I mean, that's like on the get-go. And a lot of those are to undo Obama's executive orders, which, yeah, I think the vast majority of those need to be taken care of and gotten rid of. Also, George Bush put a bunch of executive orders out there that are completely unconstitutional. They need to go away. And let's not forget Bill Clinton and his executive orders and the disaster those things turned into. And we need to restore Glass-Steagall. We need to restore transparency in banking. And we need to put the Federal Reserve Bank under charge of Congress. We need to make it nationalized, and we need to seize the assets of these guys that have stolen all of the stuff from the United States for the past 100 years. Which we can take all of the assets of the Rothschild Bank that they've stolen from us, the $100 trillion or whatever it is now, actual unfunded liabilities and debt that we have in the United States, and we'll still leave them multi-trillionaires. It's not going to affect their lifestyle one iota if we take back what they've stolen from us, which I believe that needs to be done immediately. And if he can't do it via Congress, he needs to do it via executive order and nationalize their assets. Because, guys, something taken under theft, under coercion. Remember, the Federal Reserve Act was never voted for by the majority of Congress. They passed it like in a Christmas Eve service back in 1913. Same thing with the federal income tax. This whole thing has just been subterfuge and obfuscation for the past 100 years. It needs to be brought to light. It needs to be gotten rid of, period. Now, there are some things that Trump can do. Number one, he's got to get rid of this Affordable Health Care Act. I mean, that's got to go away immediately. There is no salvation for Obamacare. It doesn't need to be changed. It needs to be done away with. The fact that they can now tax you if you decide you don't want to carry health insurance is absolutely insane, and there is no cap in the long term on what they can charge you as far as if you don't have health care. Number two, he's got to fix the borders. He's got to get the wall up or whatever he wants to do. I would immediately station troops on the border with Mexico Monday. I would sign an executive order to do that, and I would put a stop to this mess until the wall gets built. He needs to do an economy-based GNP, not on consumer spending. He needs to make people realize that, you know, we can't just buy things in this country and go deeper into debt and think that's a true gross national product. We've got to restore the factories in our country. We've got to get the true unemployment rate back down. It's actually about 95 million people out of work right now. It's between 15% and 25%, and we have to understand that this labor and statistics stuff they've been giving you us is a complete and total lie. We've got to get rid of this snowflake nation. By the way, Ohio State University, for the snowflakes today during the inauguration, gave their children a safe space to go to, their college students, and I'm sure they had the puppies to pet and the Play-Doh to play with, so they could basically have comfort in knowing that they could be taken care of at Ohio State. We've got the biggest group of pansies that I've ever seen with children. That unbelievable. They need to be told the truth of what life is and how life works. I mean, you know that with me, Austin, when you guys were little. I never played that game with you guys. If you did the mistake, you paid the price. And that's how we did it. I mean, no one got away with nothing. And that's why I've always been consistent with all of my kids. And they always say to me, Dad, one thing about you is you're always the same. I'm always the same, and I'm always like this. I remember, Austin, when you went into puberty, you were like 17, 18 years old. You said to me one day, you go, well, Dad, you've changed. And I said, no, son, you've got testosterone. It changed. You're the one that's changing. Right now you're going through puberty, and it makes you start thinking differently. And guys, listen to me. What we've done to the children of this country and how we've taught them to be snowflakes and just pansies nauseates me. We've got too many single household parents that are basically letting their kids get away with everything. I'm including both men and women now, and not holding their children accountable for their actions. Guys, that's what you end up with, as much of pansies and snowflakes. They've got to play with Play-Doh and play with puppies and have places to hold each other and hug each other and cry while Donald Trump is being inaugurated. What a bunch of weirdos. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. We have to knock the knees off the lobbyists. We have to get rid of all of these people in Washington who are doing the stuff with the GMOs, with Monsanto, and paying off the congressmen to keep this stuff alive. We've got to basically revitalize the military, and here's why I look at how I look at that. Pull our troops home. Get them out of Germany. Get them out of Syria. Get them out of everywhere. Get them home. Get them home. Get them out of Korea. Let these nations, South Korea is one of the wealthiest nations on the planet with their industrial sector. Let them handle their own demilitarized zone there with North Korea. South Korea has asked us for decades to get the heck out of their country. They don't want us there anymore, but we still have 40, 50,000 troops stationed in South Korea. What on earth for? What on earth for are we there? Bring our troops home. Revitalize the Air Force. Get rid of that stupid F-35, whatever it is, and realize that we have technology far beyond that we can pull out right now and not even waste money on nonsense like that. We need to redo the infrastructure. We talked about that. The roads and the bridges, the things that are falling apart. We have to get rid of the foreign policy in which we give all of these countries who hate us money all of the time, and we try to tell them what to do. We have to encourage American businesses to start up, to operate, and we have to get rid of all of the red tape and the nonsense as far as all the things they have to do with the IRS, et cetera, and all the filing, and the Supreme Court. What a bunch of nutbags in the Supreme Court right now. Ruth Bader Ginsburg walked out there today, and I could literally see, and I'm saying this metaphorically, I could just see a demon inside of her walking with her. That is one wicked, wicked liberal witch. She should have never, ever been put on the bench. She is one sicko. And I hope and I pray that she retires as quickly as possible and Trump can get Supreme Court nominees who know what they're doing, who are Christians, who are devoted to Yeshua. And I can't, and one thing, Austin, also what I want to share is I was so pleased today. It was kind of funny. First person who speaks is the Catholic priest, right? He's unbelievably negative, talking about, well, just listen to it again. You hear all the negative stuff he's confessing. It was really awful. Then we have Paula White coming in right after him. Well, yeah, I think she was too later. She did an excellent job. Now, I know Paula White. I know good things about Paula White, and I know bad things about Paula White. I know a lot of things about Paula White. I was on her show dozens and dozens of times. Now, here's what I will say about Paula White, because I'm not going to speak disparagingly about her. I never have, nor will I ever do that on national TV or national radio. I had the Tampa Tribune call me up when Paula White went through her second divorce with Randy White, trying to get dirt on her from me. This is the Tampa Tribune. They called me up, and this is a huge paper with millions of readers in Tampa, Hillsborough County, all over Central Florida, and they called me up and they said, we want to interview about you, about Paula White. We know you've been on her TV show. We know you know her personally. We want to ask you some very specific questions about Paula White. And I said, okay. And they said, we want to be on the record, so you'll be on the record. We're going to quote you in the newspaper. I said, okay. You know, let's do it. They said, well, do you have a comment you want to make about Paula White? And I said, yes. I said, here's how my comment is. They've paid all their bills to me. Randy and Paula have paid all their bills to me. All the CDs, all the books, everything they bought for me that she's marketed on her TV show, they've paid all of their bills to me in full on time. And they said, oh, well, do you want to make any more comments? I said, yeah. So I repeated the first comment. And they said, well, is there anything else you want to say? And I said, well, yeah. And I said, here's my final comment. And they said, okay, what is it? Now they're thinking I'm fixing to say something really, you know, some revelation. And I said, as silver is tested in the crucible and gold is tested in the furnace, a man is tested by the praise that he or she receives. And the lady goes, what the heck does that even mean? So I repeated it again. And she goes, what else you got to say? And I said, I've got nothing else to say. This interview's over. She goes, well, you haven't given us anything we can use. I said, I've given you everything you can use. Everything you can use. I will not give you anything else. And they, of course, fired. All of a sudden, the phone went dead. Click. Right. That was the end of that interview with the Tampa Tribune. But what was interesting, I did Paula's show. Oh gosh, another year later, I did another show with her. And I remember she came in and we were talking to her, and I told her what happened with the Tampa Tribune. And she looked at me. She says, "Ted, I want to thank you so much. So many of the people who we thought, you know, were our friends or whoever we were, basically they left. They threw us under the bus." And thank you for saying that. I said, well, Paula, I told them the truth, and I don't have to say anything else. And that's all I let it go with that. Now, guys, that's why when she was on there today, she starts off in the name of Jesus, Yeshua, and she closes in the name of Jesus. And then Franklin Graham got on. He started talking about Jesus. The rabbi out there, he felt like he was so far out, and he didn't know what to do with himself out there. You could tell he was one of those. And then final, the black pastor who came in out of D.C., he did an excellent job. So the overall, it was the most Christian inauguration I've ever seen, with six priests, pastors, and a rabbi preaching and telling the truth and calling on the name of Jesus, except for the rabbi who did not do that. But guys, this is the most Christian thing I've ever seen in an inauguration. Because remember what Obama said, the Muslim, the gay Kenyan, whatever we were at one time, what we are now is not a Christian nation. You remember all that? We are not a Christian nation, is what Obama said. Okay? I am so over this guy. I want his name stricken from the federal register. I want it gone. I want it to be as if he never, ever existed. And I hope Trump will do that. Of course, Trump has all kinds of other things he's trying to do right now, so he may not waste time on all that. But to me, that would not be a waste of time. To me, that would be a, hey, let's get to the bottom line of who this guy is, find out where he came from, who put him in office, and let's undo what he's done and the damage that he's done to this country. And I guarantee you I would get rid of the transgenders using the little girls' bathrooms. That would be one of my first executive orders on Monday, Austin. What do you think?
Absolutely. That whole thing was it was asinine. I mean, okay, if a business like Target wants to go out of their way and say, we're going to let grown men use female bathrooms, this is what we talked about on the show last year, and they want to do that as their policy on their own private property, there's nothing you can say about it except, I'm not going to shop there anymore. That's fine. But when the president decrees like he's King Caesar Augustus and says, I decree every man that feels like he wants to use the women's bathroom can use it as he so pleases, that was just bizarre to me. And trying to sit there and say that everybody has to accept that across the country. I mean, you know, in a lot of other countries, we have to look like a total joke. I mean, it's one thing, like I said, for a private company to say that's okay, or even a city to say that's okay, or quite frankly, even if a state votes on it and they say it's okay, I don't have to live there anymore and I probably will move. But man, to sit there and say that from a federal level and say that's what has to be followed now, now, that was so far out of line. I definitely think that will be one of the things that he revokes as far as with the executive order. There's another one, too, that I was reading today. Now, I don't know if he's going to do this or not, but I know right at the very end, King Obama, or I should say the leaving Kenyan that is no longer in the White House anymore, thank goodness, he basically turned around and completely smashed the Second Amendment again for Social Security holders. What he did was, if anybody is getting a Social Security disability check and they have some type of mental disability, doesn't matter what it is, doesn't matter if it's post-traumatic stress syndrome, doesn't matter if it's ADHD, doesn't matter if it's anything. If it's listed in the DSM-5 as a mental disorder and you're collecting a Social Security check, either A, you have to stop getting your Social Security check so you can still own a firearm, or B, if you keep getting your Social Security checks, you completely void your Second Amendment, essentially, of ever trying to purchase another firearm. The NRA fought hard to prevent King Obama from doing this, from creating the new rule, but lost the battle. They said it will affect those who receive Social Security because of the listed mental health impairment and who have been assigned a representative payee to manage the benefits because of the person's mental condition, the NRA reported. The bottom line, however, is tens of thousands of completely harmless, law-abiding people will lose their rights every year under the rule. And one thing that people have to understand about this is I'm not a proponent of people that are on 6, 7, 8, 9 different medications, including SSRIs and or any other antidepressants or benzodiazepines like Xanax and a stack of different things, running around with firearms and they have no idea what they're doing. You know, they black out on these drugs. They're so dangerous. They're not even allowed to drive a vehicle. I understand that, but there's a fine line with the Second Amendment, and just throwing a blanket out there saying anybody that's on Social Security that has a mental disability, if it's listed in the DSM-5 as a mental disability, you can't own a firearm. I have a real issue with that. So I have a feeling Trump is going to executive order that one out of the way, because there's a lot of other more efficient ways to handle that besides just blanketly targeting anybody that's getting a Social Security check like that, man.
I agree. I totally agree. And, you know, what's interesting to me, this, you know, God is so good to us. I mean, he really is. Yahweh is just, he loves you guys. I mean, I want you to understand that he loves you. He loves you so much that he sent Jesus to restore you unto him. I mean, he sacrificed part of himself, his son, to allow you to come back to the throne, to bring peace on earth and goodwill towards men. And if anything that we've ever seen in all of our lives together, in the years that we've been on this show now, if anything has shown you the power of God, it is this election of Donald Trump. Now, is Donald Trump perfect? Absolutely not. But neither am I, and neither are you. None of us are perfect, but Christ was perfect for us, so we don't have to be perfect. We just have to do the best we possibly can. But guys, this is so very important that you understand what I'm saying with this. It's absolutely critical that we walk in love. This negative energy that this Democratic group of people who were protesting today and breaking windows, etc., they were doing, but that was vast, by the way, it was vastly overrated again by CNN on how many protesters were going to show up. It's funny, Austin, when it's kind of drizzly and rainy, there's a tendency for people not to want to get out and protest. I know in our local jail, when you have the holding cells, they keep it around 50 degrees and they give you like a real thin outfit so you're freezing so nobody wants to get in the fight or start anything. And when it's like 40 degrees and drizzly rain the day of the inauguration, people just don't want to get out even if they're getting paid to protest because, quite frankly, they're not being monitored. Nobody knows what they're doing. They're just getting their paychecks from Soros. And one more thing that I would also do, I would take his foundations that he has and his organizations like MoveOn.org and Black Lives Matter, and I would list them as terrorist organizations. That's what I would do. And that they were there to disrupt and to destroy the electoral process of the United States. I would ban Soros from being in the United States. I'd have him flee back to Israel, wherever he wants to go, and be done with him. And I would let him know, you know, you're leaving now. You're done. We're done with you here. It's like Russia's told Soros we can't come back in. And I would charge him. And I'd say, look, you know, go find a place like Switzerland or wherever you want to hide and go do what you're going to do, but not here, not now. And your organizations will never ever get a foothold again in the United States of America. Because, guys, it's so important that these people now that have been so deceived with this veil that's been cast over their eye, like the Bible talks about, that we have to try to restore them and open their eyes to the truth of what's happened to them and why they believe they need to play with Play-Doh and have puppies to play with, you know, during an election process. We have to make people understand that this entire country has been lied to and hoodwinked, so to speak, in the past. Since John F. Kennedy, let's just be real. Let's go all the way back. Because with John F. Kennedy, when he was assassinated, it was the CIA coup of the United States. That's when it happened, back in 1963, when John F. Kennedy got shot. And what we have to understand is this. when John F. Kennedy was shot, George H. Bush was right there with the whole situation. That's been shown over and over again on videos. Now, what's also interesting is that George H. didn't show up, nor did Barbara show up. Now, whether they're in the hospital or not, I have no idea. That's all going to be really hush-hush stuff anyhow. But these guys do not like Trump, because this entire coup that Bush was involved with, that his father was involved with Prescott Bush, to basically support Adolf Hitler in World War II and to do a coup of the United States in 1933 using Smetler Butler against Roosevelt, this coup now has pretty much come to an end. We've had 70 years, almost 85 years of this nonsense with these guys, and now it's stopped. And so George H. isn't there. You know, George H. simply isn't there. Now, whether he's... Now, of course, he is old as dirt. I got that. And Barbara's old, too, now. They were old when I was doing seminars with these guys 20 years ago. But they're really old now, because now they've got to be in their close to 90. So here's the thing, guys. We've got to restore the people that are so filled with hate and bitterness and anger. Because remember, when you don't have God's love, when you don't have the love of Yahweh or the love of Yeshua in your heart, in your mind, flowing through your being with the frequency that radiates from God through the Holy Spirit, if you don't have that in you, you're going to just think about yourself all the time. You're going to be bitter and you're going to be angry. I mean, you're going to always want free stuff, and you're going to be angry that other people have stuff that you don't have. The Bible says where there is jealousy and envy, there's every evil work. And guys, we've got to understand that these guys have been programmed with the Bernays slick advertising by these Sabbateans to believe the lie of the media, to believe the lie of these organizations that have taught them how to hate. Now, remember what we've taught you before on the show. When you hate, the energy goes down really low, the frequency goes down very low, and it literally feeds these demonic entities that are around us and on this planet. It gives them the nurturing, the necessity, the life force that they need to live on. This is why this is continuing. They don't want to lose that. They want us to stay at war. They want us killing people, torturing people, doing all the stuff that they do in their ritualistic sacrifice ceremonies that they do, because they do this on the other side of the, how you say this, the interdimensional place, wherever they reside, and they mimic what we're doing on this side. Like it says, as above, so below. They do, this is all the Aleister Crowley stuff when they do all of this stuff, because what they want to do is they want to exchange energy with our dimension, and by doing so, they allow themselves to be in charge of our dimension. We've got to break this hold. We have got to break this stranglehold that's come across the United States of America, and we have to restore ourselves as a Christian Protestant nation, with God-loving Christians and Protestants and Catholics who believe in the Word of God and who we're following God and Yeshua and Yahweh. We've all got to work together to do what we need to do. And even when we have Jewish people that are involved who believe in God, who want to do what's right in Yahweh's eyes, and who want to walk and live in peace and not treat Christians like they're dirt, they need to be involved with all of this. And it goes back to everybody. Every group, every tongue, every person in the United States, we all, regardless of our backgrounds, need to work together to restore the greatness of the United States. But we, as Christians, are held to a higher level of accountability, because we're actually held accountable to our very thoughts and our very words according to the Word. By power of life and death is in the tongue. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We have to realize that we have a much higher level of accountability than all of these other religions, because we know the truth, because God has set us free and he has filled us with his Holy Spirit. And because of that, we have to walk in love, and we need to show these other religions who we are as Christians, so they may be restored back to God through Yeshua and they can accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's what we have to do. Now, getting mad and angry at these guys doesn't help. All it does is provoke them even further. It makes them realize that basically they have something that they have. They don't have anything that we want, and all we want to do is make sure we don't become pious or sanctimonious with them. That's really, really important. We've just got to walk in love and be nice to them and say, look, there's a better way. And guys, if we do that as Christians, we can change the entire world, and we can bring more believers into the body of Christ. What do you think, Austin?
Oh, you're absolutely right, man. That is the issue you see with a lot of these guys. Is it's hard. It's really hard sometimes not to get mad at them, especially when they act completely irrational and belligerent about almost every situation. But you're right. When we start acting like that, all it does is further enrage them, and so they act even more outraged and do silly things. Like I said at the beginning of the show, they go in and they trash a Starbucks out. Guys, I don't support Starbucks under any circumstances. I've been very clear about that. They are absolutely 100% globalist, liberal agenda run amok. They blatantly come out and said, if you carry firearms, if you're a firearm owner, if you support firearm rights, we don't want to serve you. You can go get your coffee somewhere else, and we sure as heck do not want you coming in our building with a concealed carry firearm, even if you have a permit. They said that blatantly. They've also massive support for the gay agenda, massive support for the transgender bathrooms. So they're literally like the epitome of what everything the liberals want, yet they still get so angry about not getting their way with Trump, and they don't know how to handle their emotions in any way, shape, or form. They go trash a Starbucks. Of all places, a Starbucks. That's why I laughed when I first heard that. So I thought that was really, really ironic today that that's what they went and did. But that's what the level of mental capacity these people are working at. So getting in a massive altercation with them usually doesn't benefit anybody at all. And trying to show them love, man, that's a difficult one for me because I'm usually fairly overly aggressive in situations that don't call for it sometimes. But as Dad said, that's what I've had to do a lot of times is tame my tongue with these people, tell them how I believe, what I believe in, and that's the end of it, and go the other way because going in an extended confrontation with them doesn't prove anything. And quite frankly, it really doesn't show our Christian values very well at all, to be honest with you.
Well, we have to realize that we have to – there's just something else going on. I mean, there's something else really going on that's a real mess. In fact, and thing I want to one more thing Trump has to address. He has to address child pornography and child abduction. That is incredibly important because remember the CIA and the NSA, there's some horrible stuff these guys are involved in. And this is an interesting article here. And it says child porn, the Pentagon NSA CIA link, they don't want you to know about. And I'm going to read this article to you. It's by Vandita. It says some of the top ranking defense personnel, intelligence analysts, and federal law enforcement officers in the U.S. are pedophiles who access and download child porn on their work and home computers. They not only compromise the nation's security and drive the country into greater humiliation and disgrace, they put themselves at risk of blackmail, bribery, and threats by using credit cards or PayPal to pay for access to overseas pornography websites. Yet these high-profile pedophiles are neither prosecuted by the United States government or defense investigators nor exposed to mainstream media. In 2006, an undercover internet child pornography investigation called Operation Flicker was conducted by the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, a federal investigative agency. ICE revealed a list of 5,200 Pentagon employees with high-level security clearances suspected of subscribing to child pornography websites and asked the Pentagon to investigate its employees. In 2010, the Boston Globe discussed the link between the Pentagon and child porn to the public, reporting now the eight-month Pentagon investigation intentionally left 1,700 of its own men, let 1,700 men of his own men off the hook. According to the heavily edited Pentagon's Defense Criminal Investigation Services documents obtained by the Boston Globe, the Pentagon only cross-checked 3,500 out of 5,200 pedophiles. Many provided top military zip codes and their addresses when purchasing child pornography online. This is some crazy stuff, guys, and you guys need to read this article. But the thing about it is that this is prevalent through the NSA and the CIA. The U.S. National Security Council is infamous for conducting domestic and global mass surveillance to secretly snoop on users' online communications, which NSA chiefs claim is necessary to foil terrorist attacks. Remember the top secret document dated October the 3rd, 2012, leaked by former CIA employee Edward Snowden. It sought to track radicalized users' sexual activity and evidence of visits to pornographic websites in order to discredit and blackmail Muslim activists. The fact is the NSA and CIA employees watch a lot of child porn, you know, at work. Intelligence analysts and terrorist experts at the NSA and CIA are paid to watch child porn and graphic videos 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I mean, this is a crazy, crazy stuff that these guys are involved in. And this crap, and that's what this is, this filthy, filthy, filthy crap needs to stop. And Donald Trump needs to put a big quash on all of this covert activity into this child pornography stuff and go after these child porn rings that are doing this, put these people in prison, try them for their crimes, and hopefully if they're found guilty of doing these things with these children, I personally think they should be locked up for the rest of life, and if they've killed these kids, they need to be executed. I personally suggest you take them out on the Capitol steps and hang them via, you know, a doggone good old fashioned necktie party. I've had enough of these guys, Austin. I'm so over these guys taking these children and doing these horrible things to them in these high levels of government and thinking that all of this stuff is okay because some of the people at the high level of government are suspected of being involved in this and they choose not to prosecute these people because they don't want to be busted for what they've been doing themselves. I include the Clinton Foundation in that category, son. What do you think?
Yeah, it's sad. I mean, the whole everything about it's sick, man. It really is.
Yeah,
but we know, we've seen so much stuff now that it's extremely prevalent, and you're exactly right. That's why a lot of these guys never get busted. They never get prosecuted, even if they get caught with stuff, because so many of these guys are involved in this really, really, really sick behavior. And, I mean, it's sad how many kids get abducted every year into this type of stuff, and it's not getting better. You're absolutely right. That is really something that the Donald needs to address. And also, too, you know, convictions with higher penalties, as you just said. I mean, even if it's not even life in prison, if it's a death penalty for a lot of these abductions or other perverted activities, if they get caught doing that, my opinion
is that. Especially the people also that are involved in trafficking with these children.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, if they're trafficking and making money off of these kids, I think the death penalty should not be taken off the table. By the way, to change topics real quick, you know, I've talked to you guys many times about coffee. And, you know, I used to be a coffeeholic. I've told you that repeatedly, and I used to drink 18 cups of coffee a day in graduate school at Florida State University. I worked for a company called Quality Coffee Service. I'm not even sure if they're in business anymore. And they gave me a really nice bun coffee maker. It's B-U-N-N. And I used to make my coffee every single morning and had this incredible cup of coffee every day, sometimes 6 cups for morning, 6 cups for lunch, and 6 cups in the late afternoon. And I had a big German Bierstein mug that held 6 cups, and I would just fill that thing 3 times a day. So, yes, I love coffee. I still love coffee. I love the way coffee tastes, and I love it how it makes me feel for about 2 days. After about 2 days, I start feeling really, really tired, really, really run down, and I start feeling really irritable with a lot of cortisol. And so I don't really drink coffee much at all anymore. I had my last cup, it was last summer when I was in Montana. And there's a place called Montana Coffee Traders that makes really good coffee. And I must admit, I did stop and get a few cups of coffee while I was in Montana last summer. But I have not had a cup of coffee since August. So I don't really do a lot of coffee. I don't think it's good for you because it elevates cortisol. Now, there's some other things that it does too. And I'm not picking on you if you drink coffee, okay? I'm not even trying to adjust this halo over my head because I don't have a halo over my head. I mean, I still like the stuff and I still drink it upon occasion. But here's the thing. When you elevate cortisol, you start storing body fat. Plus, you massively increase aging with elevated cortisol because you can't get proper sleep. Cortisol is the agitation hormone your body secretes in the morning to get you out of bed, to get up and eat breakfast. It is a hormone that basically is not healthy at high concentrations. You can't keep it in your body. When you're about 50 years of age or 40 years of age and you drink a cup of coffee, it takes 2 or 3 days for your cortisol to come back down to normal. So if you drink it every single day, you don't ever get your cortisol back to normal and you speed up the aging process. This is one of the things that I've learned over the years, and that's one of the reasons that when you go to a high school reunion, if you take care of yourself, and you'll see this if you're young and you're Austin's age, when you go to a 10-year reunion or a 20-year reunion or a 30-year reunion or a 40-year reunion, you start seeing how people age at varying rates. It's kind of like burning a candle at both ends. It's only going to burn half as long. That's what happens when you elevate cortisol, not only with the body fat, but you massively increase your risks of high blood pressure. And 2 to 3 cups of coffee a day, according to the British Medical Journal Lancet, can actually increase your risks of heart disease by up to 50%. So it does a lot of things to you that is not healthy. Now, there are a lot of people out there saying, well, healthy, you know, it's okay to drink healthy coffee. Well, there's no such thing as healthy coffee because of what it does with cortisol. Now, there are a lot of chemicals and compounds in coffee. I'm going to talk about this in a second. That is over 1,500 chemicals found in one cup. And a lot of these are really, really toxic pesticides and GMOs and all kinds of other stuff that are involved in this coffee and the processing of this stuff. So, guys, do yourself a favor. Stay away from coffee as much as you possibly can. And women, there's a compound called a methyl xanthine in coffee that massively increases the risks of breast cancer and fibroid tumors in your breast tissue. If you've got breast cancer or tumor, whatever, in your family, in your DNA, it's really, really important to allow your epigenetics, what you do, what you think, how you pray, what you eat, what kind of supplements you take, to have a better control over your body, then allow yourself to be taken over by this epigenetics when you drink coffee and you force your DNA to express itself, creating tumor masses. I personally think getting off of coffee and taking D and potassium iodine and vitamin C and vitamin E and astragalus every single day will radically reduce your risks of breast cancer, which studies have shown they do, and not to drink coffee. I remember years ago, Katie Couric did a study, a thing out. She actually brought some Tibetan monks, M-O-N-K-S. They were priests out of Tibet, Buddhist priests, and they said they could cure cancer and cure breast cancer. They had like four people they came in to cure. The Buddhist monks were given only about 50 of their items. They needed like 200 different herbs. And the first thing they told these women who had the breast cancer, you can't drink coffee, you can't eat sugar, and you can't drink alcohol, or the protocol that we're going to give you will not work. Again, that's sugar, coffee, and alcohol. And several of the women basically could not do that. And I believe there was one woman who listened to them, even though she was in a stage 4 breast cancer, sent home to die. She fully recovered when she listened to them and took the healing herbs and stopped putting these poisons into their body. Because think about this. If you make your body overly acidic, you really speed up the process of cancer cell division. Cancer loves an acidic environment, and it likes a low oxygen environment. So when you have not enough oxygen in your tissue and you have an acidic pH, or it's too far to the acidic side, it allows these cancer cells to grow like crazy. The sugar, the coffee, and the alcohol all drive your pH to acidity. So you really need to stay away from that stuff as much as you possibly can. Now, some of the other chemicals that are in coffee, and basically are in just one cup of coffee, it's kind of crazy. I pulled this up today, and it says that there are some solutions. You can do organic coffee, which is okay, but the reality is this. Organic coffee still elevates cortisol. I remember I had one of my suppliers come up with a product that was really going to help support, you know, weight loss, et cetera, and we worked together with them, and they insisted on using green coffee extract.
Yep.
And I told them, I said, guys, it's going to elevate cortisol. And they said, oh, it won't do anything. It'll be fine. I said, guys, you don't seem to understand. It really is bad for you. I don't want to do this. And their response was, well, go ahead and just try it. Just go ahead and try it. And I said, look, we used the green tea extract and the purple sticks, which are a phenomenal product. And I said, can't we just use that? And I said, and they were going, well, we can't get a proper source and all the other kind of nonsense like this. They didn't want to do it. So I said, okay, I'll try it. I will try it. You're telling me it won't elevate cortisol, and I will give it a try, and I'll see what it does. I took this stuff, and I got so irritable and so aggravating and so mean and so yucky that my wife told me after about 3 days on this stuff, she goes, you know, Ted, you're acting like you're back on coffee again. And I said, yeah, I'm afraid so. She goes, you're getting really, really irritable. And I'm like, well, I'm a type A. I don't need to be irritable. And then Austin tried it, and it did the exact same to him. Remember Austin?
Yeah, coffee does the same thing to me as it does to you. So I don't.
Yeah, and this drink they gave us did. So I just told them, no, thank you. We're not interested in using this product. And see, here's the thing, guys. You got to realize that I'm not going to tell you something that I haven't experienced in most cases. I ended up going through a lot of this stuff myself and trying to find out things work or don't work. But when you have products like coffee that contain pesticides, agricultural runoffs, who knows what else, coming from third world countries, they could actually have lead in them, for heaven's sakes. You don't know what's in this stuff because you haven't had it assayed. I mean, we know that there's pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, insecticides, synthetic fertilizers, all of this stuff, over 1,500 different chemicals. You know, we also know that we can get cancer-causing Monsanto glyphosates in it, which have been linked to infertility and cancer. We've talked about it so many, many times. And a lot of these things are used on these coffee plantations. So, guys, it's just one of those deals. If you're going to do it, no matter what I say, get the organic stuff and try to avoid any of the synthetic chemicals in your coffee if you can find a true organic coffee, which I don't know of one that exists because I've never had it assayed. What do you think about all this, Oz?
Yeah, well, the purple sticks are a great option on that. I was actually talking to a customer the other day on it, and they were saying how they actually helped them. They were trying to come off soda, Mountain Dew, and they were addicted to Mountain Dew every single day, multiple bottles, 16-ounce Mountain Dew, just hammering it. Mountain Dew's full of sugar, and it's full of caffeine, not to mention it's got like brominated vegetable oil in it, food coloring, phosphoric acid, you name it. I mean, Mountain Dew's some really, really toxic stuff to put in your body. But anyways, they said that but the problem is every time they came off Mountain Dew, A, they start having real bad carbohydrate cravings from all the sugar that they weren't getting, and B, they would start having real bad headaches from the caffeine that they weren't getting. So they said they're working on getting their blood sugar under control, so they're using the cinnamon extract, and they tapered off the soda down to about one to half of one a day, and they were using the purple sticks in conjunction. When they weren't drinking a soda, they'd have a purple stick once or twice a day, and basically that would keep the headaches at bay. It also helped with the energy because you got to remember, not only are sodas leaching calcium from the bones, not only are they making you more acidic, not only are they raising cortisol, not only are they spiking your blood sugar and insulin because of all the high fructose corn syrup, not only are they poisoning you with GMO corn syrup because all the corn syrup they use is from glyphosate infested corn, not only is it doing all that as well, and on top of it's also it's rotting your teeth. On top of that, that's the other one. It's just as a side note, every single time I've talked to people that are having significant issues with tooth decay, with enamel issues, with cavities, every time when I've asked them about it, they've either been drinking large amounts of coffee or they've been drinking soda. Either one. So that right there is just a side note on it. But anyways, they said they were running the cinnamon extract and the purple sticks, and it really helped them taper off, and they were able to completely get off the Mountain Dew. So that's another side thing, guys. If you want to look into doing that and becoming much healthier, it's very easy to taper off a lot of this stuff with natural supplements, and you're getting the B vitamins through the purple sticks, so it's actually helping you naturally with energy instead of just taxing your adrenals like caffeine does, Dad. So there's a lot of uses for the purple sticks. That's why they're so popular, and we order them by the pallet load.
Well, no, that's why they're one of our best sellers, because they're a really good product, and I love them. I've been using them for years now, and quite frankly, it's a great thing. First thing I do, I get in the morning, I get 22 ounces of distilled water, and I dump about 2 grams of vitamin C in it, and I put a purple stick in it, and I'll stir it up, and in about 20, 30 minutes, I feel the effects of the green tea and all the vitamins that I just put on my empty stomach, and I start getting energized, I start feeling good, my brain starts kicking up, and then I'll get the kids out of bed, because we have to pray every morning. I mean, you say, well, you want to pray, you get to pray. No, we have to pray. It needs to be, you have to pray. Don't think that you could get away with not praying. You have to pray. You have to pray every day. And so we have to pray every morning, because I have to invoke the power of God in my life daily. I have to let God know that I'm here and I'm calling home daily. I have to let him know that I have a relationship with him daily. I have to know that it's that important to me that I have to pray every day with the kids. So I'll get the kids up out of bed. By this time, I'm 30, 40 minutes into my purple stick it up, reading and everything else. And the kids go, Dad, you had a purple stick. We just got out of bed. Can you just drop it down a notch? Well, we can drop it down a notch, but we're all still going to pray. And so then Sharon gets up if she's not already up, and the kids are up, and we pray every morning. Now, every once in a while, something may happen. We may have some kind of disruptive thing in our schedule, and we have to pray later on in the day or in the car or whatever. But we always make it a point, when at all possible, best of the day, because we realize we have to pray. Very important. One more article on health. Black seed oil is now being shown to put deadly asthma medicines to shame. The powerful black seed oil known as Nigella sativa strikes again, this time proving that food could be a powerful asthma medication alternative. A new study published in the Journal of Phytotherapeutic Research reveals that the powerful little black seed known as black seed oil, once referred to the remedy for everything but death, may provide a powerful alternative to pharmaceutical medicine in the treatment of asthma. This is extremely promising for the millions of chronic asthma sufferers who are still taking meds like long-acting beta antagonists, which the FDA warned back in 2006, actually increase the risks of dying from asthma. Now, this was a double-blind, randomized, double-blind controlled, placebo control study, and it showed what this thing does. It's amazing what black seed oil does. Now, I had a problem, and I told you guys this years ago, with my inner ear canals itching, and it was awful. I started when I was like 50 years old. It went on for a few years. Finally, I tried so many different alternatives. I found several things that worked. The black seed oil helped it, really helped to get rid of it. But then I started using our colloidal silver, like a drop in my ear every night for about a week, just one drop in both sets of my eardrums and both sets of ear canals, and that problem is gone. I don't have that problem anymore. And every once in a while, I may feel a tinge or whatever. I can put another drop of the colloidal silver in there, and I take my black seed oil every single night. It's very important that you realize consistency is the key with black seed oil. It's a phenomenal product. It tastes absolutely horrible. It's awful. It's awful. It tastes like drinking diesel fuel. It's horrible, okay? So I'm not going to tell you that you're going to like it, but we have it in capsules so you don't have to taste it.
Yep.
And we also have the liquid. I use the liquid, and the only thing that I have found that can cut it, the wretched taste that it is pomegranate juice. And we use the organic pomegranate juice, the 100%, and that's really good for your heart too. So I'll take about a tablespoon to half an ounce of the black seed oil in a little cup I fill the rest of it up with pomegranate juice, and I take it as a shot, and I do that every single day. And it's just a phenomenal product. What it does as far as yeast control and fungal control in your body, nothing else touches it, period. And you combine that with the acidophilus that we have, the 100 billion count acidophilus, it really helps to restore proper intestinal flora to your intestines, helps to get rid of chronic constipation, helps to get rid of chronic problems with gas in the intestinal tract, helps get rid of all of this stuff, and makes you feel really good. It massively increases your energy level. So I take it every single day. So, but I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat it to you and tell you how great it is, because it's great as a product. It does not taste great at all. And so I use it every single day. But if you don't want to deal with the taste, just get the capsules. We have it at healthmasters.com. Guys, I want to thank you for your love and for your support and for everything you do for us. This is a day of days. Today, January the 20th, 2017, is a day of days when the world stood against tyranny, when the United States once again took its rightful place at the threshold of the foot of the cross and said, we will not do this any longer. We will not go quietly into the night. We will not allow the New World Order to do this to us. Guys, I love you. Thank you for your support. Thank you for getting your supplements from us. Thank you for getting your mobile vitamins from us. I appreciate every single one of you listening. I will always tell you that, because I want to be that person that comes back and says thank you. God bless you. Remember, I'll be on with Hagman tonight for the second 2 hours. Awesome. Go ahead and close.
Yeah, bud. Yes, we do. We appreciate everything, guys. All the emails, especially the really positive emails, those are really nice and uplifting. Dad and I see those, all of them. We may not respond to all of them if you're not asking a question, but we do see them, and we do appreciate it. Thank you so much. So if you guys need anything, as always, email us, call us at HealthMasters, healthmasters.com, 1-800-726-1834. Also, check out the AquaTrace. I told you guys yesterday, it's on Product of the Week, on sale for over 10% off. Our Aquaceous Ionic Mineral Suspension System is great for adding it to distilled water or to increase your mineral intake, re-ionize your body with proper minerals out of these salt lake flats with 99% of sodium removed, so it will not increase any type of sodium in the body whatsoever. Really, really, really great product. But yeah, guys, we did it today. It went through, the prayers worked, what we've been talking about, the positive frequency, everything we've been trying to promote, it went through today. I mean, all the adversity that was against Trump and everybody that supported him for the last year and a half, now he's finally here. So, guys, we appreciate everything. We're in this together. Everybody has to stay strong and keep praying. You guys have a safe, blessed night, an incredibly great weekend, and we'll talk to you again Monday. And enjoy the show tonight with Ted on the Hagman Show. He'll be on there from 8 to 10. So you guys enjoy that as well. We'll talk to you again Monday.